Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. The Boston Asian American Film Festival marks its 10th anniversary this year, a milestone during what some say is a new era for Asian American stories on the screen. The festival kicks off tomorrow with the screening of the now 25-year-old film, The Joy Luck Club. Organizer Susan Chinson says this movie helped pave the way for the current wave of popular Asian American films.
We are not where we are now because of just what we've done in the past few years, but rather this is part of a legacy of creatives that have had an impact that we are now feeling.
Rosalind Chow, one of the stars of the Joy Luck Club, is in town for the festival, and she joins us in the studio. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
So the Joy Luck Club was a major film. Let's remind folks on this 25th anniversary. It was a major film about the relationships between four young Chinese-American women who grew up here and their mothers who were first-generation immigrants. And we have a bit of a clip from a scene that I'm going to play here where one of the young women is talking about the mothers who bonded over regular games of regular games. Let's listen.
My mother started the Joy Luck Club having met all these women in church. Auntie Ame, Auntie Lindo, Auntie Ying Ying. For 30 years, these women feasted, forgot past wrongs, laughed and played, lost and won, and told the best stories. Each week, they hoped to be lucky. And that hope was their only joy. Their connection with each other had more to do with hope than joy or luck.
Rosalind Chow, remind us of what that film meant and how big a hit it was 25 years ago.
It was huge because it was the first time that Asian Americans saw themselves on screen in a major motion picture. So I can remember a friend of mine seeing it, and he said tears were rolling down his cheeks the second Joy Luck Club came on and he heard the music. It was very meaningful at the time.
So for you, in your professional world, what kind of roles were you playing until then? Remind us of what it was like for someone trying to get into Hollywood then.
Well, just prior to that, I had done a film called Thousand Pieces of Gold where I played the first Chinese-American pioneer woman. And she did not speak English, and this was a welcome change. I think that's where Wayne first saw me, was in that film. So here we got to be ourselves, essentially. Yeah. Although I'm not like Rose exactly, I'm a much bossier wife. But we did get to reflect the Asian-American experience, which we never had seen on screen.
Now, so many folks said, oh, the Joy Luck Club shows a movement's coming, and this is a whole new time for Asian American actors and films. Was it?
It didn't turn out to be. We were very hopeful. But I do think social media has changed that. And I also think that the Asian American community has learned how to get behind our projects and to be supportive of each other. And I really think John Chu helped to lead that charge. It's been huge.
Yeah, but why didn't it work, do you think? Why didn't it work for the Joy Luck Club?
I do believe that it was one of the first films. Mm. So Asian Americans didn't know how to get behind our own works. And we were more concerned with what we didn't see in Joy Luck Club than what was there. And
such
so,
as?
I think everybody had a different opinion about what they had hoped to see in the film. Mm-hmm. And expectations were very high. Although, overall, we were supported. There just wasn't enough of a push. We weren't, you know, the publicity wasn't huge. The marketing, it all just didn't come together the way it has with Crazy Rich Asians and this perfect storm.
Well, let's talk about Crazy Rich Asians. One of the scenes, we also have a clip from one of the scenes of that movie, and that's where the character Nick Young asks his girlfriend, the character Rachel Chu, to come to Singapore and meet his family. Let's listen.
Don't you want to see where I grew up? Meet my family, my Ama. I meet up with that strange college roommate of yours.
Take Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
She has been begging me to come visit her, you know.
The universe has spoken. It wants you over there. Come to Singapore. I want the whole island to meet the brilliant Rachel Chu.
So that's a scene from the movie Crazy Rich Asians. And I'm wondering, is this the turning point for Asian American actors in films?
I'm very optimistic because we have a lot more. I'm seeing a lot more interesting Asian American filmmakers out there. We have there's interest. It's very exciting.
But, you know, it seems like it's almost similar here with Crazy Rich Asians. Very high expectations and some criticism there about Singapore and the portrayal of Asian Americans in Singapore. I mean, it seems like maybe Asian American films are still trying to find their footing here when it comes to Hollywood.
Right. But as long as we're making headway, I'm optimistic. And I really do think this time it's a big change. I mean, Awkwafina being on Saturday Night Live. We're doing the new live action Mulan. There's going to be a lot of Asian representation coming up. Mm-hmm. And Asian males, the Asian male representation for Crazy Rich Asians has been a real turning point. We're no longer invisible in that, we were only thought of in sort of a fetishy sense before, and now I think we're thought of as more of the fabric of America, which is really wonderful.
Do you think of a particular story or anecdote when we're at a moment like this, and you say, I remember when I had to X, or maybe have a non-speaking role in a film. But, you know, is there something that you can say, I know we've come a long way and made a lot of progress because I remember this?
Well, the one thing that yellow facing is something that I thought we were beyond. And it has just recently started happening.
Tell
again.
Us what yellow facing is.
Yellow facing is similar to blackface, where a white person portrays a person of Asian American descent. And in a perfect world where everybody can play everything and all things are equal, it would be fine. But because there isn't enough representation of Asian Americans, it would be nice if Asian Americans could represent Asian Americans. Mm. So that has just recently come to the forefront. And the reaction to that has told me that things are changing. We're a lot more vocal as a community, and, you know, white people, black people, everyone's been speaking out against yellowface, which has been, we've had support from people of every color.
Mm-hmm. And better marketing this time around, right? And social
definitely.
So you mentioned Mulan. Yes. You just finished filming for that. What can you tell us about that?
I'm not allowed to tell very much, but the only thing I will tell you that it's going to be spectacular. It's being directed by Nikki Caro, who's well known for Whale Rider, among many other films. And it's starring an actress who's like the Julia Roberts of China. Her name is Yifei. And there, Gong Li is in it, and a host of very hunky young men. I just left New Zealand being surrounded by them. And it's an all-Asian American cast, all-Asian cast. So it's very exciting. It's going to be a dramatic version of it's not a musical and nothing like the animated.
Huh. Okay. Well, you told us a good amount. Thank you. So why do you think a film festival like the Boston Asian American Film Festival dedicated to Asian Americans is important?
Well, I think it's wonderful for us to have the opportunity to get our work out there in a place where you know, certain projects might not normally be seen, low-budget films, and this is a way for us to nurture our Asian American filmmakers and Asian American artists. And any opportunity to do that, I think, is wonderful.
If you had attended something like this when you were young, starting out, do you think it would have made a difference?
I don't know. I really believe everything happens when it's meant to happen. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a real turning point. And the fact that some of the films being shown at this festival I'd heard buzz about. So it's wonderful that they are really doing the work to get the word out there instead of just having it, you know, be amongst the Asian American community.
Mm-hmm. Is there something you're most looking forward to?
I think the last film for Izzy, I'm looking forward to. It's starring an Asian American actress who was a friend of mine who just recently passed away and is a wonderful actress. So I am looking forward to seeing how that is. I heard it's great.
All right. Well, great. Well, Rosalind Chow is in town for the Boston Asian American Film Festival, which runs from October 18th to the 28th. You can go to baaff.org to find a schedule, locations, and special guests. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. Coming up, we talk with Massachusetts Democratic 3rd Congressional District candidate Lori Trahan. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.